Last week, we considered the Lord's cure for troubled hearts. Now, we're not talking about physical hearts. We're talking about our inner being. We're talking about our souls, that part of our being that affects how we see the day and how we see each other. Good moods, bad moods, these come from the center of our being. And the disciples had quite a lot to be troubled or depressed about. They'd been warned, excuse me. They'd been warned that that the Lord Jesus was going to be betrayed and betrayed by one of them. Peter had been told he was going to deny him. And that the Lord Jesus had told them that he was going to be taken from them. And can you imagine if you were told you were going to be taken, or your mother was going to be taken from you? And you're thinking, I don't want mommy to go away from me. Well, that's just an idea of how you would feel, but how much more the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, he was going to be taken from the disciples who had spent 3 years with them. And they were sad. We might have our own reasons to be troubled. Life isn't easy, is it? Sometimes at school, things are difficult. People perhaps aren't very nice to us. Perhaps we find the studies, our lessons, difficult. And then if we're older, we might find difficulties in the family. Children. Grown up, who are not following the Lord, who gain their own way, who are a trouble to us. Afflictions, physical afflictions. Illness. People dying. There are many reasons why we might feel troubled in our hearts, depressed at times. And living as a Christian. It's difficult, isn't it? And becoming increasingly so. The government seem intent on taking away our freedoms and the ancient Christian landmarks. Future Labour government is going to try and restrict the preaching of the gospel to prevent us telling people that they need to change their sinful ways when it comes to sexual immorality. Well, the first thing that we saw we needed to do was to believe in God. And so much of our trouble comes when we don't. There's an increase, we're told, of depression in our country. Why is that? Because people don't believe in God. So they've got lots to be depressed about. Why do you live if God doesn't exist? What is the reason for living? We're going to die anyway. And unfortunately, that becomes people's mindsets. If because they've been groomed to no longer believe in God, no longer to believe in a purpose in our lives. You see, even those who believe in God often don't believe that he is sovereign. In other words, that he is a ruling king, that he actually controls everything that happens in this world. Do you know he does? Do you know even the sparrows, we're told, do not fall without our Heavenly Father? So if somebody, a little boy, goes out with a catapult and manages to hit a squirrel or a sparrow. Well, the only reason he's been able to do that is because God has allowed him to do it. And the strange thing is that even in those smallest things, even in the death of a sparrow, he has a purpose, some strange purpose that we don't understand. In everything, he has a purpose. He rules this universe. He does whatsoever he pleaseth in heaven and on earth. Just because the world is in rebellion against him doesn't mean that he is not ultimately in control. Think about Job. Job was a righteous man, but the devil wanted to give him a hard time. But God set the limits on the trouble he could cause Job, and he wasn't allowed to take his life. And so it is with each one of us that God sets boundaries on the troubles we face. He is in charge of all of them. Did you know that? Well, if we don't believe in God, then we won't believe that. But do we also know that the Lord Jesus, too, the Lord Jesus, too, is God. Believe in God, believe also in me. We saw that he's making himself equal to God when he says that, because he is equal with God. He said in John chapter 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. If you come, you can't, no white man comes to the Father, we're going to see, but through me. They are, in that sense, one and the same. They're not, they aren't the same, but each is God. We also saw that there are mansions waiting for us in heaven, permanent and glorious places to live in. You might not like the place where you live, but you're only there for a time. We've heard that there are going to be less houses. There are people can't afford, if you're young, people move out of their houses later because there aren't enough houses for people to buy. But there's going to be a time when, for the believer, you're going to have a mansion, a glorious dwelling place that the Lord Jesus has gone to prepare for you. And in some strange way, there's a link between the work that you and I do for the Lord Jesus here on earth and our dwelling place. Because we're told that first of all, works are prepared for us by our Heavenly Father. And we're told that our works will follow us into heaven. And so there's some strange connection between our works and our reward, even though none of us get to heaven because of our works. We only get to heaven through the wonderful grace of the Lord Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins. And in verse 3 of John chapter 14, we saw there was a marvelous promise. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And that's a strange thing, isn't it? Because it's almost as if he's using his absence, because he's going to be absent from them, as a reason for believing he's coming back. So many people are the opposite, aren't they? Because the Lord Jesus isn't here, he hasn't come back yet, people think he's not coming. But he's saying, because I've gone, you know I'm coming back. Because he's not here, you know he is returning. That's very different to the unbeliever who scoffs, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And people think, well, because everything carries on, every day is the same, sort of, we have the same routine, that nothing will change. And they couldn't be further wrong, could they? One day, the Lord Jesus is coming back because he promises he's coming back. And because he's gone away. Because he's gone away, because he's not here. Remember that, because he's not here today, it means he's coming back tomorrow. Or perhaps not tomorrow, the day after. But what the Bible says is his return is closer than it was before. Today, his return is nearer than it was yesterday. And that's a thought, isn't it? Now, are you and I ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ when he does return? And then the Lord Jesus speaks about the way, telling his disciples that they know the way. Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. So he was telling them that where I go, you know, and the way you know. I've told you all of it before. And so much of our troubles are because we forget the things that we learned. Do you remember Peter? He walked on water. Do you remember? It's one of the most exciting of the miracles, isn't it? Have you ever thought of the possibility of walking on water? Well, it won't happen for any of us, but it happened to one person. It happened to the Lord Jesus, and it happened to Peter. So two people, but one only human being, that was Peter. The Lord Jesus, fully human, also fully God, but two human beings walked on water. Amazing thought, isn't it? What would you think if you were walking across the Thames? Halfway across? Would you be thinking, oh, I'm not sure I'm going to make it to the other side? And that's what happened to Peter. He suddenly looked all around him. He looked at the stormy waters and he began to sink because he took his eyes off the Lord Jesus. He forgot about the Lord Jesus. And in the middle of our troubles, isn't it easy for us to forget the Lord Jesus? It's fine when we're here on Friday evenings and we are with Christians and we believe in the Lord Jesus. Even and on a Sunday morning, we believe on him. He's here, he's with us, and we're encouraged. But then on Mondays, we can't see him so clearly now, can we? And then we forget and we go back to our old ways. And the Lord Jesus is reminding them that where that I go, you know. I've told you before, I'm going to my Father. And the way, you know, I've told you before, I am the way. The way is through me. And so, friends, isn't it important to remember? That's why we remember scripture. We try and commit it to memory and remember the things that you've heard. There was an old saying, I don't know if we still remember it. Remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder, treason, and plot. Can't remember how it goes after that. But we're not trying to remember the 5th of November. We're trying to remember what the Lord Jesus has taught us, particularly in those times when we are tempted not to believe. Thomas then said to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Well, Thomas blank, really, frankly, just contradicted the Lord Jesus. He was saying he was not willing to believe that what the Lord had said was true. And it is important for us to remember that God has given us wonderful truths for us to keep for ourselves. And there are some things he has kept secret, but the most important things, how to get to heaven, he's revealed them to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to make a secret trip to heaven to find out these secrets because they are actually made known to us. Remember, that's what we find in Romans 10, verse 6-8. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. So, if you want to know how do we get to heaven, it's in my heart, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the answer. He's paid for my sins. He's risen from the dead. He's in heaven. It's a free gift to the people of God. Don't let's think there's some hidden secret way to get to heaven. There's one open way. It's through the Lord Jesus. Anyway, Thomas contradicted the Lord Jesus, and without any apology. Lord, we know not. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Well, Peter thought he could follow the Lord Jesus in the previous chapter, and he was told that he couldn't, and that he would betray him, that, sorry, he would deny him instead. But Thomas complained about not knowing, and he was perhaps more concerned not to know. Peter wanted to know where the Lord Jesus was going. Thomas, although he complained about not knowing, he was more concerned about the way to the destination. And sometimes that can be more important. How are we going to get to heaven? What's required of me? Not just the end, that's very important, but the way to the end. You see, as a Christian, our lives are lived daily. Today matters for our future destiny. Did you know that? Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. It's what the word of God says. It's very easy, isn't it? But, oh, when I'm older, I'll think about the Bible. But I can tell you the number of people who are older who remember back to their days in Sunday school, and that's all they remember about Christianity because they forget later. And that's what happens if we think we can put things off. We mustn't. You may be very young, but why don't you be wiser than I was when I was your age and take notice of what the Bible says and what the Lord Jesus says about coming to him. And he said, suffer the little children to come to me. So the gospel's for you. This sermon is for you as much as it for the oldest among us. The message is for all of us. So don't think, oh, it's all very well for the grown-ups. I'm just going to sit there and let them have the message because it's just as much for you. And in fact, in a way, it's more important for you because you've got the whole of your lives ahead of us. We've lived a lot of our lives. You've got the best ahead. We've all got the best ahead in a way because we're all going to heaven. We believe in Jesus. But you know, let's get it right at the start and not leave it until later. Well, let us consider first, at least when we look at Thomas saying that he didn't know where he was going, it's good to at least admit the things that we don't know, isn't it? Honest people, some people are know-alls, aren't they? And they think they know it all, and they'll never admit that they don't. It's very frustrating because you can't tell them how to do things properly because they already know how to do them, even if they don't, but they claim that they do. And so, friends, it's a good thing to admit our ignorance, as Thomas did. And as I said, he was really to blame for his ignorance. They didn't know where the Lord Jesus went because they still thought he was going to establish a kingdom here on earth. If they had actually thought about it, they would have realized that no, this is a spiritual kingdom that the Lord Jesus was talking about. Is we have to get into their mindset. They thought that the Lord Jesus was going to bring about the sort of new kingdom, re-establish Israel as a big, mighty nation in the earth. And so they wondered, which town is he going to go to? Is it going to be Bethlehem, where he was born, or Nazareth, where he grew up, or Capernaum, where he performed all his miracles? Or was he going to go to somewhere like Hebron, where David was anointed king? Where was he going to go? Was he going to go to Rome? Was he going to go to England? Was he going to go to London? That wasn't the question they should have been asking, because they should have realized that the kingdom of God is unseen and spiritual, and it grows without us realizing it. So we might wonder, why is Christianity under such attack in this nation? Do we think that, well, Christianity can't be true because look at the way it's treated. Look at the way people don't go to church anymore. But that would be wrong because God is establishing a spiritual people. And already many millions have come into the kingdom in past generations. And we don't know how many people around the world, even living today, have become Christians. And we're not to judge it on the size of our churches. Wouldn't it be lovely if we were full again, as we have been before? Wouldn't it be lovely if all the churches were full? Wouldn't it be lovely if Christianity was once again the faith that everybody believed in? But it's not. The fact that it is not does not mean that God is a liar. It says, let God be true and every man a liar. So if your teachers don't believe in God, and I had teachers, at least one at school, who didn't believe in God, I mentioned him. Last time, don't think, well, that means he doesn't exist. Lots of people think God doesn't exist, but the Bible says they're fools. Don't be taken in by them to listen to what the Lord Jesus said. And unfortunately, Thomas hadn't done that. Well, if Thomas had understood, he would have realized that God's kingdom was a spiritual kingdom. And therefore, he'd be looking for it in the hearts of men and women. Well, that's a thought for us, isn't it? Let us now move to what Lord Jesus then said in reply to Thomas in verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And this is one of the pearls of the Bible. You don't get much better than this verse. It's a wonderful truth that we can meditate on for all our lives, really. What does it mean when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? Really, what he's saying is, I am the beginning, the middle, the middle, and the end. So he's the way, without which no one would see the Father. He says, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If we don't go the way Jesus went, then we won't get there at all. We read, didn't we, about the highway of holiness in Isaiah chapter 35, verse 8. Well, that was Christ. It was his highway. Why is that? Because he was holy. And he was his own way. Why is that? Because the Bible says that neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. He went into heaven, not by sacrificing lots of sheep and goats, not by sacrificing somebody else, but sacrificing himself. Therefore, he was his own way. He made it into heaven by himself. None of us can. But when he shed that blood, it wasn't just for himself. It was for all who will follow him. And so he is the way, not just for himself, but for others as well, because he is the only one who lived that perfect life that was pleasing to God. And when he died and he shed his blood, when we say that he was his own way, he didn't actually have to shed his blood for himself. Had he wanted to return to heaven, in one sense, he could have done anyway. He had no sin. There was no sin for him to atone for. And therefore, he had no reason to die for himself. But he died for you and me, because we were sinners. We were cut off from that tree of life in the Garden of Eden. And the only way back to that tree of life, we couldn't get there ourselves anymore because we were in Adam when he sinned and we've inherited that sin, that original sin. The only way is another way, through Jesus Christ. The way to the tree of life was barred for Adam and Eve and all their children. And an angel stood guarding it. But the Lord Jesus, he opened up another way, and through him, we get to heaven. And secondly, he is the truth. Truth here is compared with the figures and the shadows of the Old Testament. We might think that is strange, but think about it for a moment. The temple was built. It was a real temple with bricks and mortar. And unfortunately, some people get it wrong and they've built a temple. They've kind of built an equivalent in Rome. But you know, there's no earthly temple now. You see, that temple was a type of Jesus. You see, Jesus described himself as a temple in John chapter 2. I don't know if you remember that, but in John chapter 2, verse 19, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. So there was the temple, just a shadow, a type of Jesus who was to come. He was the true temple. The other was a shadow of the temple. It was a forerunner. It was speaking about what would come. And then Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. Then we have that he was, well, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24, we read, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but into heaven itself." And consider also John chapter 6, verse 32. He is the true manna. So if you remember that at the time of Moses, manna came down from heaven to feed the children of Israel in the wilderness. But now the Lord Jesus said, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. That was the Lord Jesus. He was the true tabernacle. A minister, in Hebrews 8, verse 2, we read, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord Jesus, the Lord pitched, and not man. So he is the truth, because he is the true way. He is the true bread from heaven. He is the true temple. So instead of just having the shadows in the Old Testament, we have the reality in the New. So in that sense, he is the truth. Just as truth is opposed to error, so Christ is true doctrine. What he says is true. If other people try and say that what he says isn't the truth, you can do things another way other than the way Jesus taught us, then listen to Jesus and not to them. And third, it's not deception. The Lord came to tell us things as they are. He is truth itself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, we read, "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." All the promises of God in Christ are yea, and in him amen. Whatever the Lord Jesus said is true, and he will perform it. And he is the life, because we are alive to God only in and through the Lord Jesus. He is the life. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, he is the real life. Men who think that they're living real lives in this world are dead in their trespasses and sins. But Jesus is the life. He is the life because the life he gives is a spiritual life which doesn't last just for this world, but for all eternity. And so he is the, as I said, the beginning, the middle, and the end. He's the beginning because he is the truth. He alone is where you start. You don't start with error, because if you begin with error, you'll end in error. You start with truth, you start with the Lord Jesus, and he is the way. If you follow him, you will go the right way. Remember the disciples were told, "Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it." And so if you want to find the truth, you follow Jesus the way, because he is the only way to the Father. And the wonderful thing is, of course, these disciples, as children, knew the Father. And it's a wonderful thing of everybody, when you become a Christian, you come to know the Father. We find that in 1 John chapter 2, verse 13. "I write unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father." You know the Father through Jesus Christ, the Son. Otherwise, you'll never know God as your Father. You will know God as your judge. If you want to know God as your Father, you must come to him as a sinner through the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you have a Heavenly Father. Isn't that wonderful? Do you want a Heavenly Father? Then you may have one. You may have the only one through the Lord Jesus Christ. The way he is then the way, the truth, and the life. He is the end, and the end is eternal life. So, friends, we need to follow the Lord Jesus if we want to go to heaven. Does anyone not want to go to heaven? Well, I hope that's a silly question, because all of us want to go to heaven, don't we? But we're just not quite sure of the way sometimes. Well, the way is in the truth, and the truth is Jesus. And he's told us the way. How do you come to the Father? You come as a sinner through Jesus. You believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And you may not think that you know the Father, but when you want to obey his commands, then you show actually that you have turned to the Lord Jesus. Because this is what the Lord Jesus says. This is what John wrote in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Sometimes we perhaps get a little clouded in our view of the Lord Jesus. Do I know him? Well, if you are wanting to do his commandments, you want to do what's right because you care about your soul, that's an indication that you know the Lord Jesus. Have you trusted him for your eternal salvation? Are you trusting in his finished work on the cross when he died for your sins? If you are, then you come to know the truth, the way, and you will have the life now and hereafter. Amen.